Well, today we're kicking off a series we're going to do over the next few weeks called Joy to the World. How many of you like Joy to the World? How many love Christmas? Don't you love Christmas? I love Joy to the World, and I think this song and this theme, Joy to the World, this verse that comes right out of Scripture, Joy to the World, the Lord has come. It just kind of embarks this Christmas season. And how many know that joy is a part of the Christmas season? For some of us, we need to remind ourselves that joy is a part of the Christmas season. Do you know that? Turn to your neighbor and smile real big at him. Come on, let's give him the biggest grin you can. Say, joy is a part of the season. Sometimes we got to let our face know that joy is a part of the season. And it's very easy to get caught up in the hustle and bustle and let the joy just slide right out of Christmas, isn't it? It's very easy to get caught up in Black Friday and traffic bumper to bumper and people pushing you over to get to that next sale. How dare they get there before you did? You got there at 4 a.m. and they were there at midnight. And man, I tell you what, it takes all the joy. It can just suck all the joy right out of Christmas if we let it. All the financial pressure of how we gonna make it through this Christmas. It can take the joy out of Christmas. All the extra hours because you work in retail and you got a lot of things going on and a lot of holiday hours gonna happen, and so you're working extra hours, and it can take the joy right out of Christmas. The thought of having all the in-laws come and stay at your house can take the joy out of your Christmas. Not our in-laws, but you know, this another church down the street. But anyway, if we let it, there's so many things that can take the joy right out of Christmas. Isn't that true? Today I want to talk to you about the thought of capture the moment. Capture the moment. It's so easy for us to think about things and let things go. We got about 2.5 weeks until Christmas. Can you believe that? 2.5 weeks till Christmas. And it's here, man. Christmas is here in 2.5 weeks. And if we're not careful, we'll miss the moment. Studies have shown us this, and the experts tell us this, that 4 out of 10 people are going to go through Christmas thinking about the past. 4 out of 10 people will go through Christmas thinking about the past. Maybe about a better Christmas than it was this year. Maybe about a past relationship. Maybe about Christmas as a kid. Or maybe about a bad Christmas. Whatever it is, we have people who are living in the past during Christmas. It says 4 out of 10 people will spend their Christmas thinking about Christmas past. Then it says that 5 out of 10 are futurists. They're always thinking about the next thing about Christmas. And what I mean by futurists is this. Sometimes it's even micro future. I mean, they're thinking about the next thing that's got to get done. We live right there. I got to buy this present and this present. And we got our checklist off. You know, we got this family taken care of. Now we got to go to my sister's kids. And now we got to go to mom and dad. Now we got to get to the cousin Joe. We got all this stuff done. Now I got this Christmas party. Then she's got her Christmas party. My kids got their Christmas party. And then we got the dog got the Christmas party. And we got all these people. And we're knocking off the list, and I got to get this present, and I got to get this dinner ready, and they're coming in on the 21st, and I got to be ready to do this. And we're marking off our list, and we live in the future. And we'll spend the whole Christmas, 5 out of 10 people will spend their Christmas in the future. And thinking about, well, this Christmas is going to be not so good, and next Christmas may be better. I mean, we're living in the future, thinking about the things we got to get done, and we'll miss Christmas. We'll come and go, and you'll miss it. You'll miss it because we're worried about the next thing we got to do. Studies tell us that only one out of 10 people will actually take time to take the remote and pause and say, you know what? I don't want to miss this. I don't want to miss this. They'll take the remote of life and pause it and say, I don't want to miss Christmas. Capture the moment. That only 1 out of 10 people will actually capture the moment of Christmas. What a sad stat. What a sad stat today to think that only 1 out of 10 people, 10% of us, will actually capture the moment and experience Christmas to its fullness. Now today I will say this to you as your pastor. What a shame, because we fall right into it as a church. Out of everybody in the world, Christians should be the ones that capture the moment the best. Out of everyone in the world, we should know that Christians are called to capture the moment above and beyond. We know what Christmas is about. But yet we fall right into the same hustle and bustle. We fall right into the same trap that the world sets for Christmas time. And we either regret about the past Christmas, or we stress about the future. And we're all either in the past or in the future. What a place to be. We either live in the past or we live in the future. And this Christmas, I'm calling to you as your pastor to say, take the remote of your life and push pause and say, you know what? I'm going to capture this Christmas. I'm going to capture this Christmas. I'm going to allow this Christmas to take meaning in my life. I'm not going to let this Christmas pass me by with regret. That's what'll happen, man. The Christmas will go by with regret, and you'll wish that you'd have captured it. So today we're going to talk about that, about capturing the Christmas. Moments come and go, but we got to capture them. Why is it important, Pastor, that we capture the moment of Christmas? Because what happens if we don't capture it? We miss it. We miss it. We miss it. What a sad thing to think this Christmas that you could walk through and go through Christmas and miss the moment that God has for you. What a sad testimony. What a sad place to be that we would live life and miss it. God wants you to capture it, the moment. He wants you to understand the season that you're in. He wants you to capture it to its fullness. When we talk about not missing moments, the reason that we are talking about this is this, because when you don't capture the moment, what's the alternative? We don't want to miss it. So I don't want you to miss the moment. Our goal today is this, that not to be the 4 out of 10 who live in the past or to be the 5 out of 10 who live in the future. But our goal today is when we leave here today, this Christmas, we'll take our remote in life and push pause and say, you know what? I'm not going to rewind. I'm not going to fast forward. I'm going to live in the moment. I'm going to receive the moment that God has for me. I'm going to capture this moment. I believe God has special things for you this Christmas. Do you believe that? Let me say it again. I believe God has special things for you this Christmas. I believe this can be the best Christmas you ever had. Let me say it again. I believe that this can be the best Christmas you ever had. Well, Pastor, you don't know what I've been through. You're right. I don't know what you've been through, and you don't know what I've been through. But I know this. I know if we will put the pause button and forget about where I've been, forget about the stress of the future, and put the pause button and say, God, I want to capture the moment today. This is going to be a great Christmas. It could have been what maybe happened in the story we're going to look at today. We're going to look at capturing the moment. I want to look at a story in Luke chapter 10. 4 verses describe a story of Mary and Martha. Now, this could be anybody today. It could be Mary and Martha. It could be Mark and Marty. I mean, it could be anybody, okay? I think this story really relates to us, and it talks about a certain time that happened when they captured the moment. Let's look at this scripture. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened up her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all of her preparations that had been made. She came to him and asked, "Don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work myself? Tell her to help me." And Jesus says, "Martha, Martha, Martha." You thought the Brady Bunch did that, didn't you? "Martha, Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Let's look at the story today, and let's talk about capturing the moment. Let me give you 4 keys to capturing the moment. Number one, we have to replace during this Christmas season, we have to replace the urgent with the significant. We must replace the urgent with the significant. Look what it says in verse 39. "She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said." As Christ followers, many of us would say that we have relationships with Jesus. I know him. Yet the season will come and go when do we really know him? Do we really understand who he is? Christmas is work for many of us, and it's stress. And if we don't allow it to come and capture the season for what it is, we'll lose the true meaning of Christmas. We've got to learn to be the way Mary was here. Mary was able to do that when she came to visit Jesus. She's able to separate the urgent from the significant. I imagine when the news came to Martha was like this: "We got to get ready for Jesus." Martha was like, "Jesus is coming to our house, Mary. yeah, you know, this is like, you know, the celebrity of celebrities is coming, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is coming to our house. Oh my God! I'm gonna see him in this grabbing hands. Gonna decorate, gonna change this, gonna get the furniture, gonna sweep, get clean. And I can just imagine, Mary's like, I'll help you. I'll do it all. And I guarantee you, in my heart, I know Mary was there, and she was there with her sister Martha, and she was helping her clean, redecorate, cook, and prepare. I mean, they were urgently preparing, and there's nothing wrong with preparing, okay? There's nothing wrong. It's a very good principle in our life. Scripture talks about being prepared. We must prepare. There's nothing wrong with that. But where the distraction comes, where the wrong comes, is when Jesus does arrive, we see where Martha stays and tries to do the future stuff. I got to get this done for Jesus. I got this going to heal done. I got to get this done. And Mary says, it's Jesus. I can see her dropping her apron and her rag and sliding at the feet of Jesus and listening to his every word. She was not going to let this moment pass her by. She was not going to allow herself to get caught up with things that seem significant or urgent. She was going to do the things that seemed significant. She was going to do the things that were important. Oh, there's a lot of urgent things that need to be done. Jesus had a big entourage with him. He has disciples and his followers. I mean, there's a lot of things that urgently need to be done. As the guest, we all know that there's no way that Mary could do it all by herself. I mean, and Martha could do it all by herself. There's no way that one person, it takes a lot of people to prepare and to host that many people. But Mary knew that Jesus was in the house. Mary knew that Jesus was there, and she was not going to let that moment pass her by. She stopped the urgent, and she went to do what was significant. It's an important fact that we learned is that we got to learn to allow that sometimes things that seem significant are not really what is urgent. And let me reverse that back. Things that seem urgent are not what seems significant. Because the urgent will take the place. The urgent will choke out the things that really have meaning in our life. And we make good excuses. We got to get it done. We got to get it done. We got to get it done. Yeah, we got a lot of things to get done. And I'll tell you what, you'll never get it all done. And if you don't stop, push pause, you'll miss Jesus. If you don't stop in your life and push pause, you'll miss Jesus. Mary was there. Look what it says in Matthew 6:34. I like what the scripture says about this. It says, give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. Don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. What an awesome scripture today to apply to our life. Don't miss God today. Don't miss God this Christmas. Don't get caught up in the urgent that you miss the significance of Christmas. Let me speak to some dads here today. We have any dads in the house? Raise your hand if you're a dad here today. Dads, yeah, okay. Dads, let me say this to you. You can be just as guilty as mom when it comes to this. You know, mom's worried about decorating and all the things that go along with the schedule of Christmas and parties and cooking and hosting and traveling. But dads, we can miss it too. We can miss it too. We can be worried about how we're going to pay for this or do that. And we just go, let me challenge you, dads. Don't miss this moment. Some of you got vacation days or sick days you haven't used yet that you could use. If you don't even use them, you're going to lose them. I say this to you, if you have a vacation day that you can use, let me challenge you, take that vacation day between now and Christmas. Not just on Christmas, I'm talking about between now and, take a vacation day and do something with your kids. Take your kids somewhere for Christmas, man, and just say, hey, let's go out and look at the decorations. Let's go out and check things out. Let's do a little Christmas shopping for mom. Take a day and go with your wife and go shopping. We don't do that. She does the shopping. I don't go out. Pastor, I don't go to the mall. Get over it. Really? You're not going to die, okay? Spend the day with your wife and take her shopping and help her buy some presents. Don't let this moment pass you by. If you blink, it'll be gone. Savor the relationships you have with your children. Don't let it pass. I mean, I love every moment. I love every moment of Christmas. So easy we can miss it. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you, given to you. Let's look at the second part of this. We need to learn to replace the physical preparation for Christmas with the spiritual preparation. Replace the physical preparation with spiritual preparation. We've seen the story how Martha was so distracted in verse 40. Look what it says here. But Martha was distracted by all her preparations that had to be made. I mean, she was so distracted. Isn't that so with us? I mean, really, if this one verse could apply to our life right here, we could all say, right, this is it. This is our story for Christmas. We're so distracted with all the preparations that come with Christmas. Some of you are stressed out right now about all the things you got to do between now and Christmas already. And if you're not careful, you'll allow the physical preparation to overtake the spiritual preparation. I wonder how many hours we spent this week getting ready for Christmas. How many hours this week did you spend decorating your home? How many hours this week did you spend decorating your yard? How many hours this week did you spend shopping for Christmas presents? How many hours this week did you spend preparing and making out the Christmas menu? Think about all the time you spent just this week alone preparing for Christmas. Now let me ask you this question. How much time this week did you spend preparing for God's presence? How much time did we spend preparing for what God wants to do in our heart today? That's kind of hard, isn't it? See, we get out there and we allow so many physical preparations. We'll put all the time in physical preparations, but we will not spend the time in spiritual preparation. And we'll miss the moment. We'll miss the moment. Now, I'm all for decorating your house. I'm not against any of those things. Preparing and having the best holiday season you can. But don't put all your time and effort into that and then leave no time in your schedule to prepare your heart that you missed the moment. There's got to be spiritual preparation along with physical preparation. How do we define a moment? I say a moment is when something would happen that would enhance your relationship with God. When something would happen that would enhance your relationship with God. Don't miss those moments. One thing about the story, I thought, I wouldn't have been cool with if the two sisters had both sat down. I mean, think about the story. What would have happened if Mary and Martha both would have sat down at Jesus' feet and listened? If Mary would have said, you know what? Martha, come on in here. And they both went in together and sit down. Together they listened to what Jesus was saying. And then when Jesus left, can you imagine them? Can you imagine the conversation they would have had? Can you imagine the dialogue they'd have had? Can you imagine the fellowship they would have had? Can you imagine the conversation that had been taking place as they were cleaning up? They'd have been talking as they're doing dishes together. Can you believe what he just said? Can you believe what he just spoke? Can you believe what Jesus did? Can you imagine the bond? Can you imagine the dialogue? Can you imagine the devotion? Can you imagine the spiritual renewal that would have took place? See, one had the physical preparation in mind over the spiritual preparation. I just imagine my heart, if Martha would have been there, what would have happened in her heart would have been so much more, and even Mary would have benefited from it. Even Mary would have benefited from her dialogue that she'd have had something to talk about with her sister. Can you believe he said, what do you think he meant by this? I mean, think of what they missed by the one person being driven to do the urgent versus significant. One person being physically prepared, the other person being spiritually prepared. I mean, we get so much caught up in what's going on. How many of you here today that when you open up the presents on Christmas morning that every time someone unwraps a gift, it drives you crazy because the trash is right there on the ground? Anybody admit to that? I can be very much that way. You know what I'm talking about. They open one gift and the trash is right there. You're like, what? Get the hefty trash bag. Go to the cabinet right now. Let's start the trash pile right here, you know. And you're stuffing the trash up. Don't you open another gift that's in here. You know what I like to do? This is really my favorite thing to do at Christmas. Is I like to get the video camera, and I like to have every kid open up every present one at a time. And I like to get that camera right on their face. I like to capture every expression. I worked hard for those presents. I spent a lot of hard-earned money on those presents. I want to capture the moment. I don't want to miss the moment. I'm like, don't you even think about opening your present until it's your turn. You will lose that present. It'll be mine. Okay. You know. And if we miss it on tape, we rewrap it, make them open it again. I mean, we want to see the expression. We want to capture that moment. See, if we're not careful, we'll go through and we'll do all the preparation and we'll miss out what God has. We'll prepare and we're so worried about the urgent things. We got to learn that there's a lot of physical preparation that comes with Christmas. But we got to replace it with spiritual preparation. Are you thanking the Lord for sending his son, Jesus Christ? I like what Crystal said earlier. Isn't that good? Man, Christmas is about our Savior coming. Christmas is about our Savior coming. Why did he come? Because we needed him. Why did he die? Because we needed someone to sacrifice in our place for our sins. He came and he died for us. I've got to learn that spiritual preparation goes into Christmas. I've got to check my heart. What am I doing? Colossians 3:2 says it like this. Talks about being in the moment. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up. Be alert to what's going on around you. Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. I like this verse because it gives us two choices. It says you can be alert or you have your eyes to the ground. That's the two choices he tells us. You can either be alert with your head up, looking around at Christ, or you can walk through Christmas with your head down, eyes to the ground. No, he says, pick your head up, be alert, be prepared. Don't be absorbed with the physical preparation. Don't be absorbed with the urgent that you miss out on the thing that's most important. He says, be alert to what's going around you. Christ, that's where the action is. Isn't that a good statement? Christ, that's where the action is. That's where God has for us. That's where God wants. It's this thing of Christ. God, I've got to put my eyes to you. I've got to look to you. I got to be focused on things of you. I can't be focused on things of just of the earth. I got to be focused on things of the heaven. See, Christmas is sort of like the iceberg. That if you're not careful, you'll pass by an iceberg and you'll just see the tip pointed out of the ocean, pointed out of the water. You see just a small piece of it that we know underneath there. That's where the mass is. That's where the big picture is underneath the water, underneath the surface. And Christmas is kind of that way. If we're not careful, we'll go through. We'll just catch a glimpse of it. And we'll miss out on the big picture. We'll miss out on the big picture. Christmas is a big deal. Don't go through with just your head down and going through the motions and the preparations of the physical. Allow your heart to receive the spiritual. But unto us this day a child is born. Unto us this day a king has been given. Christmas is about spiritual preparation. Such an important event that our time is even divided by it. Christmas is a big deal, but not the physical, not the urgent, but the significance that Jesus came, that a Savior came. This is what Christmas is about. Don't allow yourself to live in the past. Don't allow yourself to live in the future, but push the pause and say, I'm going to capture the moment. This Christmas is about celebrating my Savior. This Christmas is about celebrating who Christ is in my life. When Christmas is over, what's going to happen? Where do all the decorations go this Christmas? After Christmas is over, where do they go? In the box, back in the garage. When Christmas is over, where does all the food go? Well, we know where that goes. Let's talk about something else. Where does the tree go? Either in the burn pile or back in the box. Where do all the gifts go? They'll either be broken or stuck in a toy box somewhere, played with periodically. What's going to last? What's going to last about Christmas? It's our relationship with Jesus Christ. It's the moment of capturing that our Savior came, and He longs to have that personal relationship with you and I. That's what will last forever. That's what's significant. We need to replace, number three, we need to replace self-absorption with personal reflection. We need to quit being so self-absorbed with Christmas that we learn that it's also about personal reflection, that I reflect on what's going on in my life. Look what verse 40 says through 42. I like this part of the story. It says, this is Martha, and she goes to Jesus, "Don't you care?" Don't you like this? "Jesus!" I can see her hand on her hip right now. "Don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Let's just glorify her, why don't we?" I mean, can't you see Martha just kind of saying this in a way? She's actually slamming her sister, but she's also bringing glory to herself. Not only is this heathen right here, my sister, sitting at your feet, but she left me to do all the work myself. And like her sister hadn't been there preparing all along. Like her sister hadn't probably spent days helping her prepare her house. But now all of a sudden she's doing all the work. Let me get all the credit here, okay? This is another part of the story. I just find it fascinating, okay? She has left me do all the work. Tell her to help me. Then you can imagine Jesus with a real heavy sigh. "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about so many things, but only one thing is needed." Only one thing is needed. You see, get this point down. Martha focused on the external side of things. Jesus focused on the internal side of things. Martha was focused on the external. Jesus was focused on the internal. Martha was focused on what is pressing. Jesus is focused on what is needed. Martha's needed was not a new sister. It's what she thought, wasn't it? Martha thought, "I need a new sister. Get her to get here and change her attitude. Tell, did you correct her, Jesus? You just go ahead. I've been waiting for this day for a long time. You just tell my sister what." Can you imagine that attitude? You know how siblings are, okay? "I just need a new sister. She needs a makeover. Somebody call Oprah right now and tell her over. My sister needs some help." Martha was needed was not a new sister, but what Martha needed was a new Martha. What Martha needed was a new Martha. See, it wasn't her sister who needed to change. It was her that needed to change. If you're preparing for the spiritual, we got to realize that we want everybody else to change. This Christmas, let me say this to you. This Christmas, you do not need new kids. Obey everything you say, who do everything just right. You don't need a new husband. You don't need a new wife. You don't need another toy. What you need is a new you. What I need is a new me. That's what I need this Christmas. See, Martha, she was all ready to have it all worked out, wasn't she? She was all ready to condemn the other thing. And Jesus is like, "Listen, you got it all wrong, Martha. She doesn't need condemned. You need to change. You need to change. You need to let go of what you're trying to do and get right here with your sister. You need to have a change in your heart." See, this Christmas, that's what we need to ask for. Not that God would change everybody else, but that God would change our heart. Christmas is kind of like that. Jesus visits us. We get caught up in the urgent. We get caught up in a physical preparation like Martha. And then Jesus gives her the gift of reality. He says, "You're the one who needs to be changed." What a reality check. You think you're going to go there and get your sister in trouble? Don't you love that when you're a kid? You go tell on your sibling, and you're the one who ends up getting in trouble? I mean, this is exactly what happened. She's like, this is going to happen. I can't wait to see this right here. Jesus? You just let my sister have it. He's like, took the mirror and he held it up to her and said, "Listen, what needs to change is you. What needs to change is you." Today, that's what Jesus says to us. He says, you don't need to be wishing for all these other things to change in your life. You need to change who you are. What does it involve? It involves personal reflection. Lamentations 3:40 says it like this. Let's take a good look at the way we're living and reorder our lives under God. What a good thing to do this Christmas, to reorder our lives under God. Take a good look at the way you're living, your priorities. Take a personal look at yourself. Take an honest look at yourself and say, what do I need to change? Why do we need to reorder our lives under God's design? How many know that God designed us, creation? We were created by God, the Maker. In order for you to function right and properly, you need to be reprogrammed many times to the way you were originally made, for the purpose you were originally made. Don't you love it when your computer gets a virus and it runs so slow and you try to boot it up and it takes forever, and then you try to do something and it freezes up and you lose your PowerPoint that you worked on for hours and then you can't come back. And sorry, no hard feelings there. But anyway, you do these things and you... Don't you just love it when that happens? I mean, don't you hate that, man, when your computer gets a virus and then you just can't work on it any longer, and finally you get to call in, you know, you call in the HP doctor or whoever it is on the phone, and they get a hold of your computer from a remote place. Isn't that amazing? They get a hold of your computer from a remote location, and they start working on it, and you're watching them work on your computer from the telephone line. It's this really cool thing that happens, you know. And pretty soon they'll get you, listen, your computer's shot. There's no way. There's only one thing we can do to get this thing working right, and that's go back and hit the reset button. And what that does is it goes back and it resets all your files. It resets all your programs, all your drives to the way you originally bought it when you brought it home from the store. Now, in that, you're going to lose a whole bunch of information. Most of the time, you're going to lose a bunch of files. You're going to lose some programs. But the only way to get this computer working right is to go back and then do a restart of your memory. And when that happens, it gets your computer back, and your computer begins to work a lot faster, and it gets back to working. Many times in our life, that's what we need to do in our life. We need to come back to God and say, God, I need you to come back and hit the restart button in my life. I need to make sure my priorities are back the way they need to be, because I've allowed viruses to come in. I've allowed programs to come in. I've allowed things to happen. I've gotten an overload of this, and I'm not working the way I should function. I'm not functioning the way I was made to function. I'm working a little slow in some areas. I'm dragging here, and I'm freezing out here, and I'm locking up here. Things happen. I need to come back and allow God to restart me. I need to come back and allow God to reprogram me and say, God, put me back to the way I was designed. God, get my priorities back in my life. Get me refocused back to the way I was designed to be. Let me come back and allow God to do that in our life. God designed you. He has a purpose for your life. And the last point is this. We got to replace the superficial this Christmas with the supernatural. We need to learn to replace the superficial with the supernatural. What's going to happen over the next 2.5 weeks is this. It's going to come down to the choices we make. Christmas is either going to come, you're going to capture the moment, or it's going to pass you by. And it's going to come down to choices you and I make. That's what's going to happen. Are we going to choose to live in the superficial? Are we going to choose to live in the supernatural? You say, Pastor, what's the supernatural? It's me taking my natural and put it with God's super and let it become something supernatural, above and beyond what I could think. It's God's presence in my life. It's God's work in my life. It's knowing that, you know what, His purpose is higher than my purpose. His call is higher than my call. Living in the supernatural, knowing that this season can be a great season, knowing this season can be a season of peace to my heart. This season can be a season of God speaking to me, God challenging me, God changing me, of me doing things. Look what verse 42 says, the story. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Isn't that awesome? That the only gift today, this Christmas, that can be not taken away from you is a gift that you can choose of capturing a moment with Christ. That's the only thing that cannot be taken away. Everything else, you can lose. You can lose either by just losing it because you give it to your kids and they lose it. You can lose it through a natural disaster. You can lose it through a stock market crash. You can lose it because it breaks and throw it in the trash. Everything else that's going to happen, you can lose. But when you capture the moment with Christ, He says, this will not be taken away. The moments with Christ will not be taken away. Don't take them lightly. We got to replace the superficial with the supernatural. God, I've got to have moments with you this Christmas. I've got to learn to reflect back on what it means this Christmas holiday, what the significance of it is. Who am I ministering to? I like what Jeremiah 9:23 and verse 24 says. Listen intently to God speaking. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts, boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, righteousness on earth. For in these things I delight. What does Christ want me to do this Christmas? Very clear right here. Don't boast in what you received this Christmas. Don't boast. Don't boast on your wealth. Don't boast on your own wisdom. Don't boast on your own strength. But boast that you know who Jesus Christ is in your life. Boast that a Savior came over 2,000 years ago to change the world. Boast in these things. Boast that he's the Lord who shows kindness when nobody else wants to. He's the Lord who shows justice and righteousness on earth. He says, in these things are the things that bring me joy. God wants you to understand that this is what the things that make you to know him better. These are the things that draw you close to him. These are the things that capture the moment. God wants you to love him this Christmas. God loves kindness. He loves justice. He loves righteousness. These are the things that God loves. As the magicians come this morning, we're going to close out in a song here in just a second. But now that we heard the charge this morning, what are we going to do? What are we going to do with our preparation? What are we going to do with our physical preparation? What are we going to do with things that are happening? What are we going to do? Are you going to allow the moment to pass you by? Are you going to allow the moment to pass you by? In the story, we see where Martha and Mary, one was letting the moment pass her by. Martha was so busy. And Mary says, you know what? I'm not going to let the moment pass me by. I'm going to capture the moment. So how do we do that? As we close out today, let's look at this right here. First of all, we just sit. How do we do it? First of all, we just sit. What does that mean? It means slow down. This Christmas season, slow down. Learn to pray. Connect with the Lord. Serve the Lord. Connect. She sat down. She slowed down. How many know that's a good word for us today? We need to slow down. Slow down. Second, Bible says Mary listened to Jesus. What's that mean? It means we need to open up. We need to open up our life. She listened to Jesus. Some of us here, we do all the talking. Jesus, I need this. I need that. This is what's going on. Blah, 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 blah. We got to slow down. We got to open up our heart. You know, he's still speaking today to those who are listening. He's still speaking today to those who are listening today. Are we listening? The last thing we need to do is we need to choose to do what is better. Choose to do what is better. It says that Mary chose to do what is better. Don't miss the moment. Don't miss out on the relationships with your family. Don't miss out on relationships with friends. Don't miss out on the spiritual renewal that comes with the Christmas season. Don't miss out on the heart transformation that can come when you say, God, I'm the one who needs to change. Not my sister, not my brother, not my spouse, but I'm the one who needs to change. Are you going to capture the moment this Christmas? Are you going to hit the pause button? Or are you going to let life pass you by? I'm going to invite you to stand with me today. Can we all stand together? Let me close the service out by doing this. I'm going to invite you to get out of your seat and come to the front. Can we all, because this is a body together, come to the front this morning. We're going to close out by singing this song together. Thank you for coming today. I appreciate you. Squeeze in around the front. Might squeeze in a little bit, guys. Just keep it all the way to the front, if you would, please. Make room for those coming in behind you. What I want us to do as you come to the front today, I just want to personally once again challenge you as your pastor and say this: capture the moment. Capture the moment. Simple as can be. Capture the moment. And I want you just to make a pledge this morning, right here today, to God. To say, God, today, I'm not going to allow this moment to pass me by. I'm not going to allow this Christmas season to pass me by. I'm going to allow myself to be focused on you. I want to capture the moment. I don't want to be the 5 out of 10 who are looking to the future. I don't want to be the 4 out of 10 who are looking to the past. I want to be that person who's right there, locked in on the moment, realizing that your son came. That's the reason why we celebrate this season. Your son came over 2,000 years ago to be the savior of this world. Help me in my heart today. Say, God, today, I'm going to capture this moment. Today, if that's your prayer, you say, pastor, it's me. I'm going to make a commitment today to do that. Can you just raise your hands? That's me. I'm going to capture the moment. Simple. Starts right here. I'm going to capture the moment. We're going to sing a song together as we do. I want you to make it a covenant between you and the Lord this Christmas season that you're going to capture the moment. Make it personal to Him.
In the quiet, in the stillness, I know that you
won't tell them.
There is no one else.
this thought one more time. Capture the moment. Don't let it pass you by. Today I'm going to ask Justin. Justin, will you close us out in prayer today? Just say a prayer over the service today. Thank you for being here today. Say God bless you. Justin, close us out in prayer.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this time of year, God, where we remember, God, that when we needed a Savior, you are our Savior. Lord, we thank you, God, for coming in the form of a man. Lord, for showing us that man can live a perfect life, a sinless life. And Lord, we pray that through all the hustle and bustle of this time of year, God, that we would stop and remember, God, that it's not about presents, God. It's not about turkey and dressing and cranberry sauce, but God, it's all about you and the work that you're doing in our lives and the work that you want to do through us and to this world. And God, as we remember, God, that you were born, God, we pray that our purpose in you, God, would be renewed. And Lord, that we would begin to see you, God, and see this time of year for what it really is, God. Lord, as a starting point, God, for us to reach this world. God, for you are our Savior, God, and we love you. And Lord, we pray that you would seal this word in our hearts, God. Lord, that we would seek after you, God, and capture every moment that you give us, Lord. Lord, that we don't miss you, God, and what you're trying to do in our lives, in this church and in this world. In your holy name we pray. Amen.